Now, some of you may think that I chose this sermon title because of events of this week. This sermon title was chosen the week after Easter. I think I said something like that to you last Sunday, didn't I? But isn't it funny? A Hymn of Faith. This is a complex title. I want to debrief it for a second. A Hymn of Faith. The Song of Two Women. We're talking about two women who didn't even know each other, just to be clear. We're talking about a song of faith in each case, an intense and believed and acted upon hope that Jesus could heal. These two stories are mingled by Mark together because they come in the same chapter, the same reading. And in fact, one story is kind of nested inside the other. Some of these stories that are reported by Matthew, Mark, and Luke take on different flavors depending on who's doing the telling, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But in this one, there's an urgency in this text. And I'd like to read it for you before I go any further, and then I'll share some brief comments before we have our benediction. I want to read Mark 5, and it's a long reading. So my reading will be long and my comments will be brief. But it's Mark 5, beginning with verse 21. I wish you'd follow along if you have a Bible handy. Mark 5, 21 through 43. And while you're turning to that, let me just say that our mission as people of faith and as members of the United Methodist Church is to love all people. And that means regardless of what they think, of where they are, their station in life, it is our calling to love them and to draw them toward Christ. And I think that probably Jesus did that in this text better than any of us could imagine to. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Jesus crossed the lake again, and on the other side, a large crowd gathered round him on the shore. Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, came forward. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him. "My daughter is about to die," he said. "Please come and place your hands on her so that she can be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. And a woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and had spent everything she had without getting better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. She was thinking, "If I can just touch the hem of his robe, I'll be healed." Her bleeding stopped instantly, and she sensed in her body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples kind of laughed at him. "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? And yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward. But knowing what had happened to her, she fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue leader's house. That's where Jesus was originally going, saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" But Jesus overheard their report and said to the synagogue leader, Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting. He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter and James and John, James's brother. They came to the synagogue leader's house and he saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Jesus went in and said to them, "What's all this commotion and crying about? The child isn't dead, she's only sleeping." They laughed at him. But he threw them all out. And then, taking the child's parents and the disciples with him, he went into the room where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Young woman, get up." And suddenly, the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were shocked. And Jesus gave them strict orders that no one should know what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are some days that I would rather hear a word from the Lord than to be the one who's called to speak the word. What some people proclaim to be the end of the world, others understand to be the pains of giving birth to what the world will look like or what it will become tomorrow. The world, you and me, we are always becoming something different, something more or less than what we were. But I share this scripture from 1 John. "Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed to us. But what we do know is this, that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Make it so, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it have been fun to be in this crowd this day with Jesus? Be one of those disciples that got to go into that room with Him. Jesus was going to take the child's parents. But I think he ended up kicking everyone out because everyone had their ideas of how this should be. This little girl, 12 years old, that story has a happy ending. And the story within the story has a happy ending too. And there's striking similarities. Two women. And the number 12, little girl was 12 years old, and the woman in the middle had been sick for 12 years, had been struggling the entire lifetime of the younger girl. Mark has a sense of urgency in the way he talks about Jesus' actions, and this is a tool of urgency to present a story within a story, an interruption. And by the way, we'll get back to that. A story that says to be continued, and you have to wait a week to find out the way it turns out. Jairus had come to Jesus and said, "I need you, my daughter is dying." And Jesus was not in too big a hurry, but was going along on the road, and then he had this episode with another person who needed healing. It delayed him somewhat. And by the time he got to Jairus' home, the little girl who had been so sick had died. Or at least so they said. But Jesus knew those words, "Talitha kumi." Those words that mean, "Little girl, rise up and be whole." How we need to hear words like that in our culture and in our own lives, in our own homes and in our gardens. We need to hear those words that say, "Little one, rise up. Be what I've called you to be. Don't lay down and wait to die. Don't let your mind rule your body. Don't let your spirit rule your mind unless it's the Spirit of the Lord. Get up. Get out of it. Rise up. Claim the occasion. Make the best of it. And if you see the hand of the Lord reaching down to pull you, take hold of it and let Him pull you out. I don't know what you suffer with or struggle with. I don't know what is all in your history. But all of us have some need for a resurrection. It's very disappointing when you're reading this text for the first time to learn that the little girl died. But even that is not a barrier for the Master and Lord of life. The one who is called by God not just to bring healing, but to bring resurrection. Mark gets a lot done in a short passage. Mark's the shortest of the four Gospels. It's the one with the most urgent language, and immediately. Go read Mark and see how many times he uses the word immediately. And immediately, Jesus went from there to the next village. And immediately, Jesus went to the house. Immediately, Jesus went to the synagogue to pray. Or maybe one of my favorites. And immediately, Jesus went out by Himself by the Sea of Galilee to sit and converse with His Father. Mark has an urgency. And so he buries one story in another as he's telling this event. He plants this story inside a story. Both of these are women who needed healing, who needed hope. Both of them had been struggling, the little girl already to the point of dying. Some people would have been around who said, oh, well, she wasn't really dead. Well, if we don't believe in a master who can pull someone up out of the depths, then He's not the God that we are thinking of. Because our God is powerful and redeeming. Our God is not in the condemning business. Our God is in the resurrection business. God doesn't care that you and I condemn someone. Well, that's not true, because I think it breaks God's heart when we try to do that. But it's ineffective. We cannot. We don't have the power to condemn. But I believe in God's world and in God's realm, we do have the power to pull people up, to represent the resurrection and to represent hope and to claim the gift of new life even when death has seemed imminent. And I'm not really talking about raising someone from the dead out of a casket. I'm not talking about that kind of showy miracle. I'm talking about raising people out of the depths of despair or guilt or hurt or woundedness. I'm talking about people who can take the first step to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. That's what this story is about, isn't it? Can we catch up with Him? Can we have the amount of faith that this dear woman in the middle of the story had to believe that if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I could find hope, I could find healing, I could find wholeness. Even Jesus was inspired by her faith to touch the hem of His robe, a hem of faith, a hem of hope, a hem of healing. I like to put things in terms of songs, because so many of our scriptures are filled with music. Our psalms especially are words, lyrical words that were meant to be sung. Well, they don't always sound that way in English because they don't rhyme. But in Hebrew, many of them were verse form and rhymed and were literally the words to songs. We have sung the Psalms over the years. Sometimes it's pretty boring sounding music. But here is a hymn of faith that's to be sung by both of these young ones. The little girl's father who brought her to Jesus, who called Jesus from his work to come and do the work of healing. It's like a song. It's like a hymn of faith. We have two different ways of spelling the word hymn. I guess we have three, actually, come to think of it. H-I-M. H-Y-M-N. A hymn of music. And the hem, H-E-M, of this garment. The hem of Jesus' robe. I declare to you that there is hope. There is healing for all God's people, for whatever's going on in your life, for whatever challenges or decisions you face. Come to the one who is the miracle worker. Touch the hem of his robe. Touch his garment. With faith, knowing that there is power going out from him. The little girl touched, or the woman touched Jesus' garment, and immediately he knew. He felt it. He knew that something had changed, that a healing had occurred, that a hope had been born. That's the kind of Christ we worship. And no matter how broken our world may seem to be, no matter how challenging our home life or our children or our relationships, Christ is the one that can bring hope. The only thing that's required is we ask and that we touch the hem of his garment, a hem of faith.
To respond to the Word of God this morning. May we reflect on the words that have been spoken, that we have heard, and may we act by putting our faith, perhaps like this woman, in Jesus. Let us stand and let us sing our hymn of response.